Yeah, welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. 10-5. Let's go through the final scores then this afternoon. Just waiting for confirmation from Halifax. They lead 38-24 over Swinton, so I think we can pretty much say that that one is done and dusted. Dewsbury 6, Featherstone 38. Loads of cards in that one. If you were there and you're tuning in now, let us know what happened. Hull KR 50, Batley 16. That was our commentary game. Oldham 26, Bradford 22. Rochdale 14, Toulouse 52. So the French side now starting to win away from home in the Championship. Also, Sheffield 32, London 20. So a bit of a wobble for London with Sheffield starting to pick up some points now after they had a difficult start, a difficult run of games there. And in the League One game today, Doncaster 29, Hunslet 24. And in the League One Cup, defeat for Keighley, so no Yorkshire teams left in the competition. Good job they won't let us do the draw for that one. Only joking. But Keighley are out, Barrow winning 28-6, I think the final score was. I've just lost track of the scores. Yes, 28 points to 6 from Barrow this afternoon, who went 3.5 games without conceding a point at home in the last, 3.5 games. Well, let's head back to Craven Park, where Gary Schofield and Craig Murdoch are still there after that big win for Hull Kingston Rovers. I think the point we need to get over for the Batley fans who are listening, and they all seem to agree. Lisa on Facebook said the same. It was going to be a tough game today. Yes, they've lost, but they've performed creditably.
Yeah, they have. And I say, and the big thing about it, Rich, they kept going for the full 80 minutes. And yeah, Disco, they'll be pretty happy that, you know, with the effort and the commitment. And I say, they didn't give in. They went for the full 80. And if they just hold their hands up and say, yeah, we're being beaten by a better quality side. And I say, when you look at this Hull Kingston Rovers side from the pack of forwards, all the experience, what they've got in Super League and the back line, what they've got as well. So at the end of the day, hold your hands up and say, yeah, beaten by a better quality. Simple as that.
And Craig, for Hull KR, obviously 8 wins from 8. I just guess they just have to keep on winning, but I guess improve the performances as well along the way.
I think the first point, Rich, yeah, I think, you know, obviously they want to entertain their 6,800 fans, which is a great turnout from them. But, you know, it's about those winning, and, you know, I've said it all along, and I've said it all season, and I'll keep saying it. Rovers have got 19 warm-up games for 4 games that really matter, you know, because they are going to get into those middle eights. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And, you know, they may lose one, they may lose two, but they're still going to get there. They're going to be in those middle eights. You know, ideally for Rovers fans, they'll go unbeaten throughout this season. But these games are just about making sure that their combinations are crisp. They've got confidence in the players who are playing the positions come the games that really matter in those middle eights.
I would love to know what's happened at Dewsbury this afternoon. Obviously, we're not there and we haven't seen what's happened, but at Dewsbury have had 4 men sin bin. There's been a couple of red cards. I think Featherstone have finished with 11 players in the end. 38-6. It sounds like, obviously having not seen it, it sounds like a good old-fashioned scrap there, doesn't it? What's going on, Scully?
Sounds as though there's plenty of needle in there, doesn't there? So, as I say, my son and Cal Price have taken over as interim head coaches, and I was speaking to Jonathan this morning, and he didn't say that there was going to repain or there was going to be discipline or this sort of thing. So it sounds pretty interesting there at Dewsbury Featherstone, and obviously maybe Jonathan and Price have got his Dewsbury players wound up a little bit, and to make an impression. Well, certainly they've made an impression. I wouldn't say they've made an impression on the scoreboard, but they've made an impression, I guess, with the cards from there. But not a very good start for the young fella.
Oldham 26, Bradford 22. I guess that's a good result for Dewsbury as well, because it keeps Bradford on -4. But Oldham, like Rochdale, and not like Rochdale today, but the promoted sides, you know, we saw Oldham in this division last year. They picked up a win there against the Bradford Bulls side, who would have had plenty of confidence going into that game as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, Bradford have been on a good run of form, and they've started to pick up a few wins. But, you know, Scully says it, doesn't he? You've got to play week in and week out in that league, because there's no gimmies, you know. And as I said, you take Hull KR out of it, and there's a lot of teams that are of equal ability and on any given day can beat each other. And you've seen that Bradford haven't been good enough today. You know, they'd probably been favourites for that game against Oldham, but, you know, Oldham boys have gone in there and got the victory, and that gives them another 2 points. And it's all about, for those teams, you know, staying in that division. You know, they know that they're probably not going to be in those middle eights. You know, the likes of of Oldham. You know, Bradford, a massive task. They can't get there this year either. You know, it's staying in the league is Bradford's main call. So that's a big win for Oldham to get 2 points over one of the teams that are going to be round about them.
But as I keep mentioning there, Rich, as well in this division, if you don't play for 80 minutes and you don't bring your A game, then you're going to get turned out. Another example this afternoon, Sheffield at times have been pretty awful this year. And I say, but, you know, London, they're expected to be in the top four. And I say, Henderson seems to be doing a decent job from there. But it's that inconsistency of performance. And if you don't want to perform week in and week out, then you'll get beat. It doesn't matter who you're going to play. And I say, Oldham beating Bradford, where we all know Bradford is a club. You know, they're a target exactly like Oakies and Rovers. Everybody raises up to that challenge. They want to beat these so-called big boys. And if you don't turn up, you don't perform for 80 minutes, you don't bring your A game, and it's simple, you don't win.
Toulouse now second in the table on points difference with that big win away at Rochdale. I guess one of the things we would level against Toulouse would have been their away form going to England every other week. But 6 wins from 8 now for Toulouse, and they're looking good for the top four.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, another team that, you know, obviously last year were dominant in Championship One. They've come up and they've brought the form. But, you know, they've got another team that's a full-time squad, you know, spending a lot of money to try and get into the Super League competition. And, you know, our Championship sides are finding it difficult against those now. You know, if they're good enough to get in Super League, so be it. You know, let's wait and see. But they are, you know, performing away from home, which we've seen in, I don't even know how long, many years Catalan have been in Super League. But, you know, they find that hard, don't they, coming over to England every other week to win against the English side. So if they're going to be able to find a way to do that, obviously at home they're very, very strong. They're going to be in those middle eights end of summer.
I'll tell you what as well, Craig, when you look at Toulouse and whatever the conditions have been like over the other side of the penalties, but if it's this sort of conditions, they will love it, won't they? Because that's what they used to back home. And as I say, I don't really think it'll be too much bother for them with travelling. If they get these sort of conditions, the conditions what they want, because they do seem that they want to play attractive, open rugby league from there, they'll love this. And they have proved that they are going to be a team that's certainly going to be challenging for the top four.
Yeah, one result in League One today, Doncaster beating Hunslet 29-24. Sounds like a cracking game down at the Keep Moat. And obviously in that League One game, Barrow 28, Keighley 6, a big win for Barrow. They go into the semi-final draw of the League One Cup and could well see them at Blackpool at the Summer Bash representing Cumbrian Rugby League.
Yeah, and I think Barrow have spent a lot of money to get out of the Championship. You know, obviously it's a cup game today, but, you know, Barrow want to be, or Cumbria needs at the very, 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 very least a team in the Championship. And obviously Whitehaven and Working are doing it really tough at the moment and finding it hard. But Barrow seem to be, under Paul Creary, have got a decent squad, Scoey, and, you know, and are travelling pretty well at the moment.
Well, as we mentioned even before kick-off here, when we talk about Cumbria, that's what Paul Creary wants. He's a very good coach, is Paul Creary, very smart coach. He wants to play the game in the right way and all. But the philosophy of what he's got, Craig, is that he wants homegrown players there. He wants homegrown talent, and he wants players who want to play for Barrow Rugby League Club. And he's getting that. He's, the players themselves having the right attitude and speaking to Paul. You know, the players have all got a smile on their face and enjoying the training, enjoying the environment. So that's a credit to him. And as I say, he's a very, very smart coach. All right, they're beating the other side, what I like in the division, and Keighley from there. But, yeah, Barrow, everything's looking quite good for them.
Yeah, 2 reds and 4 yellows at Featherstone. Just had that confirmed by Fev Romers on Twitter.
Well, was it then? Was it brawling or was it a fight?
I know Briscoe's red card was for a dangerous tackle. I don't know what the other ones were for. But I think Dewsbury had 2 men in the sin bin at one point as well. So I can't wait to see the judiciary on that one. Should be very interesting, I think. We'll say. Well, have to wait till Featherstone put the highlights up on YouTube later, because that'll be very interesting to see. I just read a tweet yesterday from Gareth Walker. Oxford, who are obviously in the League One semi-finals as well in the League One Cup, they have 4 players from Wakefield on draw range in the League One Cup yesterday. I think a couple of Wakefield players are at Dewsbury today as well. 6 Hull KR players play for St Helens Reserves in their win at Keighley yesterday, 84-14. What does St Helens Reserves need Hull Kings and Rovers players for, would be the first question there. And Gareth Westmoreland, the journalist, saying that George Milton of Hull KR this season has played for Hull KR, Hemel Stags, York City Knights and St Helens Reserves. He's not doing bad, is he, collecting the shirts there, the young lad?
I scratch my head, Richard, at times when I have my different hat on and think, where are we going with our game for our youngsters when you've got a young kid who's playing for Hull KR is almost like a journeyman fighter. He's travelling the country to get a game.
To get a game of rugby league. It's a joke. It's absolutely disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. Needs looking at. Does.
I mean, if a player goes out on loan for a month, you know where you stand. If you go out on loan for a whole season, you know where you stand. But can't have players playing for four teams in one season. Well, not even one season. What are we?
In 1 month.
A couple of months into the season. And he's played for four clubs. I mean, well done to the lad. He looks great on his record. But what are St Helens doing having their reserve side with six Hull Kingston Rovers players in there? I don't understand. I can understand the York or one of the League One sides, at Gloucestershire or Oxford or whatever, needing players. But St Helens reserves.
But I just think the bigger picture, I just don't get it. I just think it's not only for the Hull KR lads going out on loan for wherever they're going, and other teams as well. You know, you talk about Wakefield having so many players out today. What does that say to the people who are from the club that they're going to? You know, it's like you've got somebody coming in from a Super League club. We've seen it at Dewsbury a couple of times, going where players from Wakefield have gone. You know, and if you're a Dewsbury player and you get left out for a Super League player who comes in, and then 2 weeks later when you get no players, you're asked to come back in from your coach. It's really difficult to hit your coach. Well, you only want me when you haven't got your Wakefield players. Why should I give you everything I've got? You don't rate me. You know what I mean? And I just find it really, really difficult. You don't sign for a club to say, all right, I'll go out on Jill Reg and play for East, West, you know, North, South, whoever. You sign for the club with the badge on your chest, and you should play for that club. And, you know, for me, it should be set in stone, certainly at Super League level. I understand it lower down because of finances and stuff like that. But for Super League level, Jill Reg is not the answer. There needs to be a fully fledged reserve team competition where players can play for the club that they play for, and not go out on dual reg and play for somebody else. You don't know the club's moves. You don't know half the players you're playing with. And how do you impress on that front? And probably half the time, your coach isn't even watching. You know, obviously, Scully's a legend of the game, and he didn't have to come through the reserve grade. You know, but I played 3 years at Wigan in the reserve grades before I, you know, finally broke into the team. And Graham West was the A-team coach. He went up to the first-team level. And when he was first-team coach, he would still come on the coach to the every single reserve away game, and he would watch the game, and he knew what was coming through. You know, a lot of these Super League coaches, they've no idea what these young lads can do because they can't see them playing anywhere, and it's really, really difficult. And I don't know. I don't know where we're going with the game if Jill Reg is the answer.
I find it disgraceful, and these players at times are just being treated like a piece of meat, aren't they? And, you know, they couldn't care less about the futures, and it's totally wrong, and it needs looking at, and seriously needs looking at.
It's probably unfair for me to pick out one example of one player playing on loan at a different club, but it's the obvious one to me to think of. Max Jowett's not playing at Wakefield at the moment because they signed Scott Griggs, and he's a far more experienced player, and Jowett's learning his trade. But what does Jowett, who played lots of Super League last year, impressed in Super League last year, what does he get in terms of his development as a rugby league player from playing at Oxford, and no disrespect
nothing.
To Oxford, Richie, in the League
Richie,
get,
Richie gets nothing. He gets absolutely nothing, and he'll get cheesed off. His attitude will change, and maybe eventually, you never know, because I don't know how long Griggs has signed for him, but he's in good form, is Griggs, so there's no way near back for him there, and the kid himself, will just get totally cheesed off, and who's to say we won't lose him? Simple as that, because he will not benefit one little bit by playing at the level what he's playing at. He's proved himself a Super League player.
Well, obviously, you know, I've got an interest in this because obviously Max Jowett is one of the players who I look after and represent. So it's hard for me to comment on that one. But, you know, Scully's hit the nail on the head. And I think you rightly say as well, Rich, the fact that, you know, Scott Griggs has done a great job for Wakefield. He's come in and he has done really well. Max had a bit of a knock at the start of the season. And, you know, Griggs, with his experience, and rightly so, is given that shirt. But Max is finding it tough at the moment because, you know, how do you impress when you're playing once every 6 weeks and you're playing for someone else? You know, it's really difficult. And, you know, Michael Carter's one of the good guys. You know, he really is. He's a top chairman out there. But, you know, I think it should be taken out of the chairman's hands. And this should be, for me, and in my opinion, and again, it's easy because it's not my money that I'm spending, you know, to say to the chairman of all these Super League clubs, you must, to meet the criteria of being a Super League club, in my opinion, you should have to have a reserve grade, and it's as simple as that. Now, obviously, Leeds are a big anti the A team, aren't they? You know, they don't want that. They think it's not the way forward. And, you know, there's certain others that do that. But you look at the teams that have been successful over the last few years, Hull FC, St. Helens, you know, you take Leeds out because they've been great, but the other teams are the teams that have a reserve grade competition. And I think they, you see the benefits of that when their players need to come in and play.
I didn't mean to throw you under the bus there, Craig.
I'm happy to do that, mate. Not a problem.
Well, let's talk about Wakefield in terms of positive, because sixth in the table, impressive win, four in their last five now with that victory at the Catalan Dragons last night. We'll get the good thing about Wakefield that way, because people think some media outlets are very negative and say it's all about Catalans being rubbish. But that was a very good Wakefield performance. And Scully, that's two in a row from Mr. Fafita.
Hey, mate, what do I keep saying? It's all about consistency. And I tell you what, Wakefield, they should have had 50. They should have had 50. They were that dominant against, I would say, a pathetic Catalans side. But no, take nothing away from Wakefield. They went there, and as I say, the forwards, they got ripped in from there. And, you know, the service, the two wingers, Tom Johnson, realistically, he should have had five tries, if I'm honest with you there. And if he had just got himself a little bit deeper, and if the passing from the centre had been a little bit better, but take nothing away from Wakefield, they were outstanding. They should have had 15 points against Catalans. And, yeah, people are saying, what's happening with the Catalans? Well, again, it's the attitude of the players. They're on the holiday. Them players are on holiday. They're two decent games. They beat Warrington, who were pretty soft in that performance anyway, because we knew they was playing the Brisbane side the week after. They went to the KC and turned over Hull, surprisingly. But since then, and they're saying, all right, Greg Bird's missing, and that's maybe the reason why. But when you look at that quality, that Catalan side, and when I saw that performance yesterday and the other two performances before that, they have been absolutely pathetic. And I'll tell you what, Richie, we've got the Easter period coming up, and we all know the chairman of the Catalans, he's not pretty happy at this moment in time. If it doesn't happen for them over the Easter period, I'm afraid to say, unfortunately, I don't want anybody to lose a job in Super League. I don't want any coach at all to be sacked. But if they have a poor Easter, I'm afraid Mr. Fredinew, he'll be gone, and it's not his fault. It's them players at this moment in time who are on holiday and pathetic.
They play one of the five games on Friday, as you mentioned in the commentary, Craig, and they're away at Lee, who you saw yesterday against the winless Vikings, picking up their first win of the season.
Yeah, they did, and you know they were pretty good yesterday with Widnes. I think no flash, and they did it really tough as well, Rich. As I said, they were down to 15 men, you know, and people say, well, you only need 13. I get that. But rotation is a massive part in rugby league nowadays. And, you know, they lost two of the key players, really did it tough. Burke was his first game back for a while, and then they lost him through concussion. Lost another, a winger, first tackle of the game, he's out. They had four forwards on the bench, so it was a big reshuffle. You know, Lee weren't great. Lee made some errors, don't get me wrong. But Widnes just ground out the result. And, you know, Dennis Betts was very, very happy with his side's performance yesterday. They give him everything they've got. You know, Gilmore was back in and he added some stability. Danny Craven starting to get some confidence now. He scored three great tries. You know, he backed himself, show and go, and he took on the big lead forwards, and they had no answer to them. And, you know, rightly so, Widnes got the victory. And same old Scully saying, you know, you don't bring your A game, you don't get the win. And Lee were off it a little bit yesterday. Widnes got the victory.
A bit of a wake-up call from Neil Jukes' men then ahead of that game with the French side this Friday.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, you've got to play week in and week out, and that's why the teams that win the competition are the teams that are consistent week in and week out. You know, you don't just turn up to the final. To get to the final, you've got to be good week in and week out. And, you know, you look at Wigan now, they're not playing great, but you still have to play well to beat them. And that's what Wigan are really good at, that when they lose games, you know, they still have a dig and they still grind it out, and they don't give anything away cheaply. And that's why, you know, when you come to the big games, they're still the team to beat. So I think nothing's changed there. You know, there's some Castleford. You know, there's a big game on Thursday. I'm really looking forward to that one. You know, I think Castleford will get the victory there on Thursday night, because they're just playing a very, very attractive brand of rugby league, and they can hurt you throughout anywhere in the game. And, you know, just I don't know if you've seen it, Scully, the magic from Rangi Chase again on Friday was sensational. You know, and it's worth the entrance fee alone. You know, we're lucky we don't have to pay, but some of the stuff that Cass are doing is magnificent at the minute.
He's gone quiet, it's going.
To be honest with you, I didn't see you. I didn't see the Rangi Chase, but yeah, it's, Cassford, we all know how well they're playing. It's one game, yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to on Thursday night in the Wigan Castle from there. But as I mentioned with the A game there, and I've said it now, and when you look at the performance on Salford, what they did against St Helens, and you look at what Ian Watson, what he's doing there, and just getting the best out of his players, everybody's happy. But this is what I'm saying about players, you know, with the inconsistency. And when you look at St Helens, and I'll say it again, and I've said it over the last few weeks, them St Helens players, all they're doing, they're talking the talk, they're not walking the walk. It's as simple as that. And if you feel as though that you can turn up just on reputation, you feel as though because, all right, St Helens feel as though they're a bigger club than what, let's just say, Salford and some of the other teams from there, well, as I say, you're going to get turned over. And that's exactly what's happened to St Helens. And, you know, taking nothing away from Salford, they were absolutely outstanding. And as I say, Saints for mine, disappointing again.
Well, I know they lost Theo Farge early in that one, but they've got a very winnable fixture coming up this Friday live on Radio Yorkshire against Huddersfield. But in a sense, that's two teams who are bang out of form. There's only a point between them in the table anyway.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Craig Merlitz has just shown me the Rangi chase scenario there. It was just dummy, and a great nice reverse. But that's what Rangi can do. He can hurt you from, as Craig mentioned, anywhere on the field. But with ball in hand, he's sensational from there.
But isn't that a credit to the way Castleford dealt with whatever situation Rangi Chase was in? They punished him, he's back in the squad, and everything's back and rosy.
Well, I think what Rangi's got to realise is that Richie, he's on last chance alone, isn't it? You know, it's a place where he wants to be. It's the place where he's always played his best rugby league. The fans absolutely love him from there, you know, and it's a question of, well, how many chances does he want? You know, Darryl Powell, he's a very patient man, and Darryl will get the best out of him because he will let him play, he'll let him express himself. Again, he's the sort of player that wants to play with that vision and awareness, and there's no better coach to play for than Darryl Powell. And at the end of the day, it's all down to Rangi himself, isn't it? It's as simple as that. And he's found the place he wants to be. So if he wants to spoil it, well, so be it.
I know Castleford obviously lost to Salford a couple of weeks ago, and Wigan are having their troubles at the moment with injuries and whatever. But that's still an extremely tasty game this Thursday, even with the, of course, the added spice of Wayne versus Powell.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Cast start favourites for me. Obviously, Wigan have got, as Wigan seem to always have of late, a big chunk of the cap sat in the stand. But Castleford are playing with a smile on the face. You know, Scully and I were there last week, and the fans are happy. You know, they're being entertained with a great brand of football. As you said, Darryl Powell, fantastic coach. You know, Danny Orr and Ryan Sheridan, the backroom staff, who are, you know, allowing these players to play a different brand. They're entertaining, they're looking to play. Yes, you know, you've got to defend, but for me, Cass's emphasis is always on attack. And if you score more points than your opposition, you win the game. It's as simple as that. If you concede 30, as long as you score 40, you still win, don't you?
That's a great philosophy. I love that philosophy, mate. I love it. But, and I say, I think the big build-up should be about the two coaches.
Well, this is the thing, is it? Because isn't this a great selling point? We
absolutely
can say to the public who, Thursday night, whatever else is on TV,
correct,
these two men do not like each other. Their teams are playing each other.
Absolutely. There's no love lost. And I say, we know that Darryl doesn't like the way that Wigan play. And Sean says, well, mind your own business, and my team wants to play. It's a philosophy I want, so I couldn't care less what you think. So, yeah, it's a great marketing and selling point. And I tell you what, the game as a whole, because, hey, listen, we all know what Wigan's philosophy is, and it doesn't matter with the injuries, what they've got, the kids and the players who come into that first team dressing room, they know, we're talking about with the dual registration here, but one thing what Wigan do, they know from the kids who are coming in there, the training, what they do from 16, 17, 18, and when they get called into that first team dressing room, they know exactly what the role is as an individual, they know what the role is from a team point of view from there, so let's not get into any false dawning here. Wigan will be turning up on Thursday night to hopefully turn over Cass, but then on the other note, so when you look at the way that Castleford are playing, the way that Darryl Powell wants his team to play, totally different to where the Tyrian Whites are from there. So this is going to be a very, very intriguing game. And I tell you what, I would imagine the TV cameras will surely be on the coaches' expressions, because, as you've mentioned, Rich, there is no love lost between Powell and Wayne.
There's no love lost, Scully, but there's
mutual respect.
There's a lot of respect,
without a doubt. Oh, yeah, there's no two ways about that. I agree with that, Craig. Total mutual respect. And there has to be.
Yep.
There has to be, you know. And but I say it's going to be a very, very intriguing game.
You know, you can not like what Wigan do, but the results that Wayne has got out of that team speak for themselves, don't they?
Well, they're the champions, aren't they?
And they've been, you know, over the last few seasons, have been very consistent. They've been in a final, you know, pretty much every year, haven't they?
Yep.
So, you know, don't always get the victory. But as you said, you know, what Wigan are very, very good at is being able to still compete when they've got so many players out. You know, you're dropping down, as you said. Wigan are in mid-30s at the moment, aren't they, with players who are playing in the squad, and you still got to go to the death to beat them. They've just got that knack of being able to bring players in from nowhere who vastly become, you know, household names very, very quickly. You look at Marshall now, was unheard of at the start of the season by a lot of, you know, players in Super League, and he's now, you know, he's a joint leading try scorer or something like that. So an amazing ability to homegrown players to play for that club week in and week out and be competitive. And it's going to be a cracker. It's going to be a cracker. I think Castle have too much, in my opinion. You know, but I've been wrong many times before, and I'll be wrong again. But it'll be one not to miss, I think.
But also as well, Greg, and Rich, one thing against Wigan, what you do have to do against Wigan, you have to play for the full 80 minutes, because Wigan will play for the full 80. That's why they're the champion side, and it doesn't matter how many points they're behind. Sean Wayne demands that they keep going and keep going. And in the end, you know, if there's a way that the game can be won, well, Wigan will find a way. So, but Casford will know they have to turn up for the full 80 minutes to get the 2 points.
And second in the table, the Leeds Rhinos.
Come on, Rhinos!
Second in the table on points difference behind Cass, having played a game more. They travelled to Warrington on Friday, and Warrington picking up their first point of the season yesterday with a draw with Hull, who appear to be having a bit of a wobble, despite the fact they, you know, they've won and drawn their last couple of games. Hull.
You see, you know, it's strange, Rich, isn't it? You know, I'm a big believer, you know, in be happy with what you've got. If you'd have said to any Hull fan at the start of the season, you go to Wigan and win and go to Warrington and get a draw, that have bitten your hand off for those 3 points, and then we're looking back now after the event and we're saying they're having a bit of a wobble. It's strange, isn't it? You know, what I'm trying to say is 3 points at Wigan and Warrington, whenever you get there, for me, is points that are earned. And yes, you know, Warrington are at the bottom of the table on 1 point. Is it a false position? No, because the ladder doesn't lie. But Warrington won't be there for much longer. And the longer they go, it's an old saying, the longer you go without winning, the closer you are to winning. And I think Warrington, yesterday, by all accounts, last second half, came home with a wet sail. They've got far too many good players to be at that bottom end of the table. You know, it's not like Leeds were last year, where they had acres and hundreds of players missing and they were really doing it tough. Warrington have got the majority of their squad fit, just a confidence thing. And Warrington aren't too far away, in my opinion. I've tipped them for a win the last 2 weeks and they haven't got it. I think I'll stick with them and I think they might get it next week.
Hey, yeah, it's a bit naughty, Craig Murdoch. That's a bit naughty, isn't it? But no, they say Leeds, as well, 4 weeks ago, we all know exactly what happened, but that's history now. And I say the confidence, what they've got in that dressing room, and everybody seems to be happy. People have got the smiles back on their faces. And do you know what as well, Rich? And I said it after the Casford pathetic performance, that you know what, these Leeds players, they've got to stop sulking, they've got to stop still looking for excuses and blaming this and blaming that. And so they've got themselves sorted out the last month.
Do you know what as well, Scully, though, I still think they're not playing great. I still think they can play better.
They can play better, and I'm sure the players themselves, and I'm sure Coach McDermott would say that himself, Craig, to be honest with you, from there. But no, Leeds now, they've stopped sulking, they've got over that performance against Castleford, and against Warrington next Friday night, they'll go there with plenty of confidence. Craig Murdoch, so Rhino's win for mine.
Matt Purcell's been good for them, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's come in, and you know, it didn't take him long, but he's settled in now, and everybody around him knows how they're playing now. And I think another key for me is Ash Golding settled at the back, and yeah, I think he's playing really well.
Quality player. And I know Mako interviewed before we went on this game here, and he's talking about Callum Watkins. Well, I say we Callum, and as I say with a few players, is that when he's on, it's quite similar to the best sense in Super League. There's no two ways about that. But again, it's his inconsistency and it's his involvement in the game. And if he wants to get involved and if he wants to perform like that, like he did on Friday night, well, yeah, he's his best sense of going. But it's all about consistency.
But you know as well, Scully, you played a lot of rugby at centre when you first started coming through, and, you know, one of the best we've had. It doesn't matter how good you are or how good your involvement is. If your big guys in the middle don't win the floor, you can be Mal Meninga in the centre and you're not going to influence the game.
Well, Big Mal did, to be honest with you.
But he was never on the back foot because his team always was dominant, weren't they?
Yeah, but I fully understand where you're coming from there. But what it is, when his forwards are in front now, he needs to have that input and he needs to have that purpose in the game. And then I say, when you saw that game on Friday night against Wigan, yeah, he was back to his best. That's a Callum Watkins we all want to see on a consistent basis, week in and week out.
I think Parcell probably had his poorest game for Leeds. I've seen Leeds the last 4 weeks and five times in total this season. I thought he probably had his poorest game on Friday, but They were able to carry him because the rest of the team were playing well. That's not to say he's been great the last few weeks.
Yeah,
he's allowed an off day, but you know, Joel Moon alongside Danny Maguire, they've got that settled partnership now at halfback, and that appears to be working. As you say, Watkins was very good, and I think one of the unsung players at Leeds now is Anthony Mullally. He comes off the bench, does his stint, gets the job done, gets the yards made, the tackles done, and they're starting. And worryingly for everyone else who enjoyed Leeds being rubbish last year, they're starting to look good again, the Rhinos. As you say, though, Craig, there's still plenty more to come from them, it seems.
Yeah, I think a big thing could be for the Rhinos this week as well is what happens at the judiciary, because, you know, obviously we've talked about the Brett Ferris incident. There's a lot of pictures going around on Twitter and Facebook of Carl Ablett as well, you know, who looks, and again, a picture can tell a thousand words, as are people saying your interpretation of it. You know, but I'm sure that will be looked at. It looks like Ablett and had an incident, didn't he, with Noah Sala, where it looks like there's a hand near the facial area. So again, whether that'll be looked at, and that's a couple of weeks running now that's happened. And you know, obviously, you know, a lot of talk about the Brett Ferris incident. You know, we want Leeds to have a full team out. They want to have the best players playing. You know, but we'll see what happens at the judiciary this week.
Well, it sounds very quiet there now at the KCOM Craven Park Stadium. All I can hear is seagulls in the background, probably coming to attack the crumbs of the pies you're eating before the matches. So I'll let you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. You're not with us tomorrow night, Gary. You are on the last tackle, but what's in the paper this week?
Yeah, the column tomorrow. This week we've been celebrating 21 years of Super League, so it's the good, bad and the indifferent of what Super League's been about for 21 years. I've touched on the success of Wigan. They don't complain when they've got injuries and the juniors that are coming through, and also to the lack of ambition for Widnes. And I've done that before they beat Lee this weekend, so no doubt the Widnes fans will be ripping in tomorrow after one victory. So it's a very interesting column tomorrow, and I'm sure people will enjoy it. I'm not on the radio show tomorrow night because it's my great late friend and assistant coach at Leeds, Norman Smith. It's his funeral tomorrow afternoon, so unfortunately I won't be on the radio show. Yeah, but doing the last tackle, but no doubt the radio show will be excellent again tomorrow.
Well, that sounds good. Before I let you go then, Craig, what's your highlight? 21 years of Super League, put you on the spot. Personal highlight.
Oh, God, there's a good one. As I said, you know, mine's a strange one, obviously. Winning at Old Trafford was a big one for me. 96 was a good one. Obviously, my highlight was playing rugby union. That's a strange one. At Twickenham, not many rugby league players can say that. You know, that was one of the big highlights of my career. And again, I think one of my Super League highlights, I would have to say, was, I don't know if Scully remembers it, was when Leeds came to the Boulevard unbeaten in Hull's first year in Super League, and we beat them at the Boulevard that year. You know, very, very good performance on a wet day, and that's probably the best I ever played in Super League that day. And it was downhill fast from then on in, Rich.
Well, we're glad that you've made the transition to the commentary box and you get to, keep Scully company.
You don't drop many balls up here, Rich. That is for sure. And I certainly don't miss any tackles, that is for sure.
Well, after Scully going off earlier to explain the rules to a fan, I tell you what, you don't get that in any other radio station, do you? I'm not sure whether that's a good or a bad thing. I think it's probably a good thing that we are the unique home of our special brand
Rich, of rugby. Rich, honestly, and I said there weren't young people, these. You know, there were people who've watched the game, I would say, for 20, 30-odd years. And the ruling is, if you kick off and it doesn't go 10 yards, and you as the opposition, if you touch the ball within that 10 yards, then the team will kick off. They get the penalty. You're not allowed to touch the ball.
Scully, you've been involved in this game for years and years and years. Fans short for fanatic. If a decision goes against you, rightly or wrongly, it's wrong.
Yeah, but surely they should know the rules, shouldn't they? They should know the rules. I'll tell you what, Craig, Merrick, just before we finish, I'm just going to ask you to say, Craig, now, at this moment in time, teams that are playing in their own form or whatever, if the grand final was next week, who do you reckon the two grand finals? I reckon it would be Salford and Leeds.
Grand final?
If it's going to be, yeah. On form at this moment in time, your two grand final sides?
I think Cass will be in the grand final. I think whether it's this week or in whenever it is in October, I think Cass will be there because I think they can handle injuries this year. I think they've got strength in depth. They've got three decent halfbacks, two very good halfbacks. I think they're strong across the board. A couple of good hookers. I think Cass are there. Depending on how bad Wigan's injuries are, I think Wigan, Hull, they're in the mix as well. I can't see Saints getting in, into
Saints
that.
Saints won't get there. No
Leeds,
way.
I think they're the four. I think it's anyone from...
No Salford?
No. I think Salford are really good at the minute, Scully. I'm just not sure how they can handle injuries going forward, because Super League's a big part of that, and that's why Wigan have been so good, because they've been so good at being able to handle those injuries. Castleford for me, and then one from Leeds, Wigan and Hull.
Excellent stuff. Craig, Gary, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And if you miss Scully going off to explain the rules to a fan, here's that clip again.
Yeah, that's a shocker of a kick. It's not gone 10 yards, has it? No, it's not. Don't touch it, LKR. Oh, it's a penalty against you. What's he touched it for? It's not gone 10 yards. You're not allowed to touch it. It's a Bartley penalty.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Don't know the rules of players. But as I'm just saying here, we've all
kicked some rubbers. And the fans don't know the rules either.
It's, you're not allowed to touch it. If he wouldn't have touched it, then it is their penalty, but he touched it. So the referee's got it right.
Yeah, it's exactly right. The fans don't like it. They're booing. But they don't know the rules. If you touch it inside the 10...
The referee's got it right. You're not allowed to touch the ball.
Scully's telling the fans here at
things. You can't touch the ball.
He's arguing with the fans.
I know, but he caught the ball.
The game goes on.
You're not allowed to touch it.
Batley go forward. Inside the 30. Scully endearing himself to the Hull KR faithful, explaining the rules to them.
Be another ground I'm not allowed to come to soon.
As Batley keep the ball alive.